listen to the Rogue Startups Podcast, where two startup founders are sharing lessons learned and pitfalls to avoid in their online businesses. And now, here's Dave and Craig.
Okay, welcome back to another episode of Rogue Startups. This week, Dave and I have on Moitza Mars to be talking all about Facebook ads. So Moitza, how you doing?
Doing good, thank you.
Yeah, so we've been talking this up a lot. So I hope that that we can deliver on the hype that we've been pushing out there to everybody for the last, geez, what, Dave, like 6 weeks we've been talking about this?
Oh, good God, at least. Yeah, every time that the word Facebook comes up, Moitza's name is in the following sentence about how awesome she is. So, yes. Yeah,
no pressure, no pressure.
I don't feel like this is hype that you can't live up to, Moitza.
I need to listen to the podcast more to see what you're talking about, me.
It's cool. No, so really, it just, I mean, so for a fair background, ever since you and I started talking kind of offline about the idea of this, I dropped kind of a hint that we would be doing this episode at some point. So I think it's a cool idea. So we're going to be talking about Facebook ads, obviously, and specifically about some stuff we're doing with Castos, which I think will be cool to use as like a case study. But Moitza, for anybody who doesn't know you and kind of what you're up to, you want to give a little background on kind of who you are and what you do?
Yeah, sure. So I'm based in Slovenia, actually, and I own a boutique Facebook advertising agency called Super Spicy Media. I launched Super Spicy Media after getting fired from my previous job at an advertising agency. And I did a couple of cool things. I mostly work with 7+ figure companies. I help them develop and launch and implement and optimize Facebook advertising strategies, all of it centered around increasing their sales and increasing the amount of leads that they get on a daily basis. I also have a couple of products. I have an ebook. I have a course that teaches people how to do this themselves. And that's pretty much everything in a nutshell.
And I know recently you've kind of pivoted your business model from being an agency that services businesses to kind of selling more products, right?
Yes. So I did a major leap, actually. I've been doing client work for a couple of years now. And don't get me wrong, I like it. I love working with clients. I love seeing their business grow. But one problem that comes with that is I'm not necessarily seeing the growth as I would want it to see it when it comes to my business. Like, I had a couple of products, and because of the client work, I wasn't able to market them successfully and put the time into the product as much time as I wanted to invest in that. So what I did is basically I fired most of my clients a couple of months ago. So I made that leap, and it was actually for the better, not necessarily budget-wise, because like previously I had more than, well, actually 10 clients that I was working with, and I went down to 2. So I took a hit in my revenue. That said, when it comes to overall happiness and just being really satisfied with what I'm doing and waking up happy every day, this has been the absolutely best decision that I could make. And I'm not saying to anyone, just fire your clients. Don't do that.
Fire your way to profitability, everybody out there.
Yeah. Say it with that's a good slogan.
Yeah, not gonna work.
So Dave and I've talked kind of off and on about Facebook ads and how difficult they are on the show. I mean, Dave, do we want to give a little update on kind of where we've been with paid advertising, and Moitza can kind of chime in on kind of these higher level approaches and strategies maybe about like where paid acquisition can fit into SaaS businesses?
Oh yeah, sure. So, well, let's start with the Facebook platform since that's obviously Moitza's area of expertise. I experimented probably, I don't remember if it's September or October, I have to go back and look at my dashboard, trying to drive some traffic to various blog articles that I had in the hopes that they would take my content upgrades and then I could turn around and start dropping those people into an email sequence to try to get them to upgrade into a free trial. I've tried in the past to like drive traffic directly to a SaaS free trial on Facebook, really had no success with that. And this one I thought was a gentler approach, and I also had no success with that as well. So I'm currently not running any Facebook ads because of that. So
nothing if not consistent, right?
I am nothing if not consistent. It's true. So right now I'm doing some other things on Capterra and AdWords, Google AdWords. And I don't know that those, well, they're both too early to really have any meaningful results. So I won't comment further on that, but that's where I'm at.
Moitza, do you see a lot of people in the SaaS, say it at least like B to prosumer or B2B, doing Facebook or AdWords or things like Capterra or LinkedIn? Or what is the kind of distribution look like from your perspective?
Yeah, it's so difficult to estimate that because I get clients that, actually I get prospects that ask me, are Facebook ads even for B2B companies? Like, I have a software, I want to use Facebook ads, is this even for me? Whereas on the other side, I get prospects who have invested hundreds of thousands of dollars into advertising. They've been running really good campaigns and now they're just ready to scale that up and they're looking for help. So I guess that there are kind of two types of SaaS businesses. One type who hasn't done anything with Facebook ads because they're not necessarily even sure that this is a good way to do that. Facebook advertising is even something for B2B businesses. And on the other side, you have clients and businesses that have already invested quite a lot of their money into Facebook ads and they have been working really well. So I guess there are kind of, like I said, two groups of people.
So I've heard this a lot, and I definitely have heard, you know, fellow kind of SaaS owners say Facebook ads don't work in the B2B space or don't work for B2B SaaS. Is that crap or what?
It is crap.
Okay.
95% of businesses that I work with and ever worked with were SaaS businesses. I know Facebook ads work great for e-commerce too. Don't get me wrong. But I'm just saying that most of the clients that I worked with, they were SaaS businesses. And you can go ahead and ask them what kind of results we were achieving. And they're all going to say that we've seen some great success with Facebook ads when it comes to like signing people up for a free trial or even making a sale through Facebook ads. Everything worked. You just got to have the right approach. So it's absolutely crap, that kind of advice.
Gotcha.
All right. So that leads me to the next question here. What is the right approach? Because obviously it's not immediately intuitive to the casual observer. Because if it was, I think everybody out there would be like, oh yeah, Facebook ads. I'm cashing in on that stuff right there, mm-hmm. left and right. And that's not the case, right?
Yeah. So like one thing that you mentioned previously when you were talking about your strategy that you implemented in your Facebook advertising manager, I actually have a follow-up question. Like the first campaign that you launched, you mentioned that it was a block post promotion probably. And then you were kind of hoping to get people to sign up for some sort of a lead magnet or something that you also promoted on that blog post. Is that correct? Or did you have a separate campaign for that?
No, that was correct. That was correct.
That's the thing, actually. So whenever you do any kind of cold audience targeting with Facebook ads, that kind of audience needs quite a lot of priming. So what you need to do is for that strategy to succeed, you would need to have, let's say, a blog post promotion, promoting a very valuable blog post with Facebook ads, and then not just hoping that people will sign up for your lead magnet or your email course or anything that you offer for free at the bottom of that blog post, but you will need to set up a separate campaign for that. For those who haven't signed up, or maybe they forgot, maybe they didn't see that call to action at the bottom of the blog post promo. And then again, you would need a separate email for the next step of the funnel. So whenever you're doing that kind of targeting, starting with the cold audience with Facebook ads, you need that kind of audience needs a lot of priming.
Like when you say a lot, like how many campaigns would I need to really engage them to get them to be, hey, I'm totally excited. I'm signing up for a free trial. You totally solved my problem. I love you. Shut up and take my money.
Yeah. So when I start working with a SaaS business, the most basic funnel that we implement is a three-step funnel. So we have a valuable blog post, or not necessarily a blog post, but just any kind of valuable content for the top of our funnel. And we're mostly targeting cold audiences, focusing a lot on lookalike audiences, maybe narrowing that down with a couple of interests. And then anyone who clicks on the blog post, we retarget those people with a free trial sign-up campaign. So we're trying to get free trials to the software. And then anyone who signed up for a free trial but hasn't purchased, that's the third kind of campaign, the third step of the funnel that we implement, advertising the paid product or the paid version of the software to all of those who signed up for the free trial but haven't purchased. And that's the most basic setup. That's the most basic funnel that I implement. Absolutely, we can go a lot broader than that. Right now, with a client that I'm working, we have, I think we're actually going down on a path to having a 5-step funnel, starting with a brand. Oh my God.
Ah, 5 steps. Wow, that's ambitious.
But that
sounds like an AA meeting.
Yeah, after 5, it goes straight to AA.
But it's not, I mean, that's only after validating that, I mean, people do sign up for free trial through Facebook ads. And now we're actually trying to scale things up a little bit. And we have first a brand awareness campaign, just advertising a couple of videos, talking about our software, but not necessarily trying to advertise that software with a call to action that says, you know, buy it today. Just, you know, presenting our software to people, making that first connection, and then retargeting those people with the blog post promotion. And then we have a webinar, and then we have a lead magnet or free trial sign up, and then purchase at the end. Like I said, we definitely start with that 3-step funnel.
Well, I feel decent. At least I don't have a 3-step funnel. We have a 2-step funnel going so far. We're not totally kind of screwing the pooch here, I guess. Moitza, we talked. So I gave Moitza access to our Facebook business account for Castos. A month ago, maybe. Or 6 weeks ago, whenever we started talking about this. And in that time, mm-hmm. I've run kind of 2 different sets of campaigns. And I will give an overview of what I think I did. And Moitza can then correct me of where I went wrong, because I definitely went wrong a couple places. They both were kind of in the vein of like drive a cold audience to some piece of value. And then the other piece of it was just straight retargeting for people who had either been on the website or visited the pricing page, retargeted them to hopefully make a conversion. So our goal for each of those campaigns was different. But so in the first kind of bunch of ads that I ran, we ran cold traffic, so a lookalike audience from our email list, about 5,000 people. So we created a lookalike audience from that and ran to a landing page for an email course that we created. The numbers on that, I feel like were pretty good, email signups, I guess. And I know that at least one of the people that signed up to that, converted into a trial. I don't know if they converted into a paying customer or not, but we were getting new email signups for about $2, $2.33. So I don't know, Moitza, is that good?
Oh, that is definitely a good start. Okay. There are a couple of optimizations that you could do, but we can talk about that later too.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so I just want to run through kind of what we've done, and then we can we can just pull the lessons out, not for me, but for everybody. So like as general as we can make them, so I don't feel as bad about myself. The second one was just a disaster. The second part of this first campaign that I ran was a retargeting one, and I just screwed up the goal, I think, of my retargeting. So I think I was retargeting people to visit my pricing page instead of retargeting people who had visited my pricing page to sign up for a trial. So this was like a technical thing that I just screwed up and spent $50 for nothing, but it's not the end of the world. So about a week ago, I started running another campaign, or another two campaigns that did a similar thing, but similar to what Moitsu was saying, I am promoting or boosting a blog post also to the, I think probably to the same lookalike audience as I did the email course before. And so we've been running this for a handful of days now, and we're getting $1.88 per click to the blog post right now, which I think is high. And then we're retargeting everyone who has been to the website but has not started a trial. And technically how we do that is we added a custom event. Is that right, Moitsa? Is that what it's called? It's a custom event?
Yeah, custom conversion.
Okay, a custom conversion in the Facebook Pixel to our app for when people, it's like the first page that someone lands on after they start a trial. So we have like a welcome page in the app on Castos. And so we said, target everyone who's been to the website but has not visited this welcome page in the app. And so we have right now three conversions at $11.02 per conversion, which I think is fucking stellar. I'm just patting myself on the back. But I could be totally wrong. So I'd love to, I don't know, pick apart any or all of that.
There's a ton of feedback that I want to give you. There are a lot of things that you think you're doing, but you aren't doing them.
Cool.
It all starts with, I want to start actually with the blog post promotion that you're doing right now. So I think that's the, so you're not necessarily boosting a post. That's a little bit different. If you boost a post, your optimization is going to be to get as much engagement as possible to that post. What you're doing with your campaign is you are using the existing post from your Facebook page, but optimizing for landing page views or optimizing for clicks. So you're trying to get people clicking on that blog post of yours. There are a couple of things that you're doing wrong. First of all, you're not really targeting your lookalike audience. And that's going to be my first feedback because, like I said, before starting to record this podcast, I did my homework and I was wondering, like, why are you targeting every single person in the United States? So there's...
This is great.
So, but I'm going to talk about, you know, why that might be a problem so anyone can take a little bit of value out of this. So when you create a lookalike audience, what Facebook basically does is it creates an audience that's similar to your existing audience. That audience that Facebook creates is brand new. It's called audience, but it's just based on your existing audience, whether those are customers or your email subscribers. And that's a great way to start advertising, especially if you're not necessarily familiar with the interest your target audience has, with any kind of demographic information. So this takes away the guesswork from you. When you don't do lookalike audiences and you target really broad audiences, like all the people in the United States, you're essentially targeting a lot of people who are not interested in what you have to offer. At the moment, you're targeting people from 18 years up that live in the United States. There's no narrowing down by interest. So you're spending a lot of money targeting people who are not even remotely interested in what you have to offer. And that's why the price per landing page view is so high. Another thing to keep in mind is that right now, as we're recording this, it's in the middle of the holiday season. So the prices are going to be a little bit higher, especially with campaigns that are targeting cold audiences. That said, the price per landing page view, which is what you're optimizing for when launching your blog post promotions and your traffic campaigns, that price should be around, definitely below a dollar. But I usually, with my clients, we get landing page views for about 30 to 50 cents.
So this is great. So when I'm creating the group of people that I'm sending this to, obviously I did select a lookalike audience of an email list that I uploaded to Facebook. My understanding was that that took the place of all the interest-based stuff, because Facebook would just figure all of that out in the background to say, we're going to pull 5,000 more people that look just like these 5,000 people that are interested in podcasting because they come from my podcasting business email list. Is that not right?
Yeah, but you're not even, like, the target audience for this particular campaign that we're talking about is not using lookalike audience as the audience to target.
I gotcha.
So it's a technical setup issue.
Okay, cool. Is what I said correct though?
So yeah, basically what Facebook does is, like I said, let's say you mentioned that you have 5,000 people on your email list. So you upload that audience to Facebook and Facebook analyzes it. They analyze, you know, what kind of common interests that audience has, what's the common age of that audience or the average age of that audience. And when you create that lookalike audience, Facebook will create, like, you don't need to narrow down by any interest. It's an additional thing that you can do if you're absolutely sure that you want to target people that are interested in a very, very specific thing. But mostly I don't narrow it down because Facebook, like you mentioned, does figure it out. They do, based on what they're seeing, they do figure out who to target next and how to adjust your targeting so it actually reaches people who are interested.
Cool. Okay.
All right. So based on that, Moitza, I have a follow-up question here. Mm-hmm. So obviously, Craig and I going into this, you know, and Facebook changing their user interface every fucking 3 months.
That is correct.
Yeah. And it's so frustrating because if you haven't, like, I made this huge jump from like 2014 to 2017 or 18 to come back. And it was like, I might as well have been in an entirely different product at that point. I recognized almost nothing and the complexity had gone up tenfold. So with that said, what are the things that we have to pay attention to when creating new Facebook campaigns and lookalike audiences that are just the most common things that screw everybody up? Like, I'm sure that Craig didn't intend to mean this thing here, but the user interface is so damn confusing. It's easy to make those kind of mistakes because I know I made them too.
Mm-hmm. That's a really difficult question for me to answer because I am in the Facebook Ads Manager every single day. So all of those changes that happen, like, there's not a really big jump or a steep learning curve that I have to go through. But I know that a lot of people experience the same exact thing that you're experiencing. Even those who advertise regularly but just don't check on their ads every single day. I think the most important things to be careful of is the thing that actually Craig had a lot of issues with, and that's what are you optimizing for? What are your goals? Just make sure that the goal of your campaign actually matches with what you're trying to achieve. Facebook is working a lot on improving their user interface to make it easier to understand what you're doing, what you're implementing at that very same moment. Is it the audience? Is it a custom conversion? But I know that it can definitely still be tricky a couple of times, just, you know, implementing everything. But I think, like I said, most important is to actually track and be careful if the conversion that you're optimizing for actually matches your goal, because a lot of the times that's one step that people kind of miss.
Okay. Yeah, that helps a lot.
So to that point, kind of generally, to again try to drive home like learning lessons for everybody, is when you're at this first stage in the funnel, that the three-step funnel that you described, and you're promoting a piece of content to a cold audience, do you like to do that via an interest-based audience or a lookalike audience?
I love using lookalike audiences, and I actually prefer it over interest targeting, and that's for one reason. When I start working with a client, or even if I launch ads for Super Spicy Media, I know my audience very, very well. I know what they're interested in. I know that, from my example, they're interested in launching Facebook advertising. I know what kind of consultants and online personas they are interested in because I talk to my audience a lot. That said, I definitely am not familiar with some common interests they might have because they are not necessarily directly related to Facebook ads or their business or the industry that they work within, but they might be, there might be some personal interest that a lot of the people from my target audience have, but I just don't know it because I don't ask them personal things. For example, stupid example, but still an example. Let's say that they're all interested in dogs. They all love dogs. When I create lookalike audience, Facebook will know, Facebook will recognize that common interest and will be able to create a brand new audience based on people who are interested in Facebook ads. And they also love dogs because a lot of people from my target audience that I uploaded actually loves dogs. Mm. I wouldn't know that information because I don't talk about dogs with my target audience. I talk about Facebook ads. I talk about like what are some of the online personas, some of the consultants, some of the people that write about Facebook ads that you follow online. I talk about those things, but I don't talk about those personal things that Facebook knows about them, but I have absolutely no way of knowing.
All right. Tell me what else I'm doing wrong. Let the roast continue.
I don't know why I haven't started with this, but I think the number one thing that you're doing wrong is you are not A/B testing anything.
No.
You have, for example, even with the, let's start with the same campaign that we previously talked about. So for the blog post campaign, you have one audience that you're running that ad to. You have one copy in that ad set and you have one visual in that ad set and that's it. So how do you know that this image that you're using for promoting your blog post is the image that works absolutely the best for your target audience? What if, you know, you would use a picture of a person? What if you would use a totally like a picture with a text on top? What you have to do with Facebook ads, if you constantly want to improve, is launch several ads, several visuals, several different copies, and then see what makes your target audience tick. Because right now, like, you're looking at the result and you're saying, well, I'm generating about $2 per landing page view. I don't know, is that good? Can I go lower than that? Well, if you would have a couple of different visuals, you would see, okay, well, this one is generating landing page views for $2, but that one is generating landing page views for 50 cents. I know that I can go lower than that with a different kind of approach. So what I always recommend, like whatever the industry, whatever the client, whatever the business, always A/B test and use visuals that you might think that you think might not work for your target audience. Go a little bit outside of your comfort zone, because maybe, again, it all comes down to you knowing your target audience, but maybe you think and you assume, well, they will, you know, engage with this image the best. Like this image will perform, its performance is going to be the greatest, but you don't necessarily know that. Like your target audience might be triggered by a different image. They might engage with a different image a lot more than the image that you think they will engage with.
Gotcha. So I have a very, very elementary and probably stupid question.
Okay.
There are no stupid questions, Craig, only stupid people.
Yes, thank you. Levels of hierarchy to a Facebook ad campaign. One is the campaign itself, like it's a retargeting or it's boosting a post or whatever. From there are ad sets, and below that there are ads. Mm-hmm. What is the difference between ad sets and ads, and that's, where do you start testing either of those?
So you like it starts with a campaign. Campaign level is the top level, and then every campaign has one or multiple ad sets, and every ad set has one or ideally multiple ads. Now, when we're talking about campaigns, that's the funnel that I'm talking about. So every step of the funnel should have a separate campaign. Those campaigns are optimized based on specific goals, and it's ideal if you have one goal or one objective per campaign. So if you are trying to increase your traffic to your webpage, you're going to have one campaign for that. If you're trying to generate free trial signups, you're going to have a separate campaign for free trial signups. If you're trying to increase sales, you're going to have a separate campaign for that. And then inside that campaign level, you have, as I mentioned previously, one or multiple ad sets. Now, when it comes to ad sets, on the ad set level, what we usually A/B test are audiences. So for example, if you have a blog post, let's say that you're advertising a blog post, you would have one ad set for this lookalike audience, another ad set for a different kind of lookalike audience, maybe another ad set for experimenting with interest targeting and seeing which interests with which interests you can get to your target audience the closest. And then each of these ad sets should have one or ideally multiple ads. And on that ad level, that's where we experiment and A/B test with visuals and copy. But that's about it. I mean, it's quite easy when you break it down, but it's just important to remember what you A/B test and what you experiment with on each of these levels.
That's really helpful. I mean, I consider myself like average maybe at Facebook ads, and I didn't really know what the difference is. I just click through and check all the boxes, and I don't really, that's a great breakdown of like campaign is the objective. The ad set is basically the audience when you're creating multiple of them. Yeah. And there's multiple ad sets per campaign, and there's a whole bunch of ads that fit in one ad set. So that's super. So with testing, so can I go back and add testing to an existing campaign?
So what you can do, you can't necessarily implement an A/B test because Facebook does have an A/B testing feature, but you can't implement it once you already launch a campaign. What you can do though is still, let's say, duplicate the ad that you already have running and just switch the image or switch the copy, and you're going to run like a manual A/B test. So Facebook will not notify you automatically about the results of your A/B test, but you're going to be notified. You're going to need to check in again in a couple of days to see if that new ad of yours is performing better than the previous ad that you had running.
Cool. Okay. And then for this promoting the blog post, I want to spend $100, right? Mm-hmm. How do you break down A/B testing across $100?
That's a great question. So let's say that we're going to have just one lookalike audience, so we're not overcomplicating things. If we go down to A/B testing the creative, the first thing that I usually do is I launch one version of a copy and a couple of different versions of visuals. And I'm going to run that with about 20% of my budget. So one copy, let's say five different visuals. After a couple of days, I check in with my ads and see which visuals perform better than others. And I pick, let's say, two to three different visuals that are performing really great. And I pause the other two and I take those three and duplicate them, but just switch the copy. So I have then six different ads or nine different ads with two or three different sets of copy. And I invest the remaining 30% of our budget into that. And then I wait a couple of days and see who the winner is. And then I take those, let's say, five or three winning ads and just run that with the remainder of our budget. So yeah, hopefully this is helpful. I mean, it all comes down to performance and observing your performance over time. But that's pretty much how I do it with my clients.
No, that's super helpful. Okay.
So when you, let me, that was a lot to digest there and unpack. Wow. When you're trying to set up the A/B testing, you're saying that you like create 9 to 12 visuals and 3 to 4 variations on the copy, and then you start mixing and matching right off the bat. So for those of us that are like struggling on getting one set of copy or maybe a second set of copy to go with this, I mean, this sounds really intimidating. What's the secret for sort of unpacking that in a way that doesn't drive you crazy?
So an easy solution to that problem would be to run just a very similar copy, but just different lengths. So let's say that you would have one copy that's really short. Two sentences, three sentences max. Then you would have a medium lengthy copy with two paragraphs, and then a long form copy with a couple of paragraphs, which is pretty much resembles a sales letter. And that's a really neat way of A/B testing without investing too much of your time into developing different copies. I mean, it's easier for me since I do this professionally and clients pay me to do this, but I know that if you're working on your own project, you have tons of other things that you need to be taking care of, and just developing three different sets of copy and six different visuals can be time consuming. When it comes to visuals, there is also a really neat solution. I do custom design all of my visuals, so I don't use any online tools for that. But again, I know that as a business owner, you don't have a lot of time on your hands to sit behind your computer and design visuals for Facebook ads. There is a really neat solution. There are a couple of online tools that you can use. They offer templates specifically for Facebook ads. And you just switch the background, you change the text, maybe you add some graphic elements to it, and you can easily create six different visuals for your Facebook ads. Download it, upload it to Facebook, and it's easy as that. So you don't need to go through the struggle of custom designing each and every ad.
Oh, thank God. Can you share that with us so we can put it in the show notes?
Yeah, absolutely. So one tool is Canva.com. I know probably a lot of people are familiar with that since they offer not just Facebook ad templates, but they do offer like Twitter templates and Instagram and Facebook in general, and I don't know, emails and so on. So Canva.com is one. And then another one is from Adobe, and it's called Adobe Spark. And they also have like specifically Facebook advertising templates. They make absolutely sure that it's not too much, there's not too much text on the image, because that would trigger the Facebook alarm on the other hand, and they might not approve your ad. But like I said, these are two really neat tools that I always recommend to, not just my clients, but my students as well. They love these tools and they create most of their Facebook ads like that.
Nice, nice.
I'll throw one more in there that I use. We use it for Podcast Motor actually all the time. It's called Snappa. So snappa.io is snappa.com. It's from
Christopher Gimmer, fellow
MicroConfer. It's fantastic. It's very similar to Canva, but has a few more bells and whistles. I like it because you can duplicate an image. So you just take one and duplicate it a bunch of times, then change a little one thing or here or there. So I've been using just stock images from the Facebook Ads Manager, which I'm sure is horrible, but I think I have a very, it's probably the reason I haven't A/B tested any of this, is I have a very like, just get it out there and see if anything happens approach to Facebook ads. Mm-hmm. As I'm starting, and then optimize from there. So like just using a stock image for me is like one less huge decision not to have to make.
But you can launch an ad with several stock images with just a couple of clicks.
So I could start testing the ad image very easily even with the stock images, right?
Yeah, exactly. And those stock images, I mean, they, Facebook is constantly improving that. So what they're trying to do is they're trying to take away most of the work and the struggles when it comes to designing the images and so on. They offer as much as they can inside their ads manager. And I think it's great. Even the stock images are improving. If anyone is interested in any other royalty-free images that they want to use for their ads, I love Unsplash.com. They have amazing stock images, even of people. So what I found out, and that's another feedback that I actually have for you. I know that you download a lot of your images from Facebook, but I would definitely, if possible, experiment with some images of people, maybe someone. I know that it sounds like very trivial, but someone sitting behind their computer and that's it. When people see other people on images, they're just drawn to that ad a lot more than, let's say, an image of a screen or something like that without any person included on that image.
Yeah.
So that's something that I would definitely suggest to anyone that's literally listening to this episode right now, just go to unsplash.com or even Facebook and look for people behind their computers, and that it doesn't look as sterile as stock images used to, just in a very natural environment, natural lighting, no green screen behind them, and just use that image for your ads. And I can promise you that it's going to outperform the, I don't know, the computer image or anything other.
Cool. Awesome. Yeah. So for a reference, I have... Yeah, four of the four campaigns I've run, four stock images of computer screens or microphones with no people in them. So it's just, I'm racking up the fails here, Dave.
Oh, that's all right, man. I feel your pain. So I've got one last question for you here, Moitza, because I know we're kind of getting to time, but this has been like, I mean, I think we could probably go for another hour and you,
totally, would, not, yeah.
You would not be boring us in any way, shape, or form, because this is some great information. But the question that I have is, Facebook has so many ad products and placements. Specifically, there's feed ads and there's sidebar ads and there's video ads, and now there's stuff across the Instagram network and all these different choices in here. How do I make a sane choice? Because when I did this, I was like, oh, well, I know that the Google network is really crappy, so I should just stick to search ads for these keywords. So I narrow it way, 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 way down in order so that my budget just doesn't go blowing out the window and it gets shown to a bunch of people that don't care. How do I do that same thing on Facebook? Like, what are the most effective placements and products that they have in your experience, and are they industry specific? And, you know, what best practices or recommendations would you have there? I know that's a huge question, but...
It actually isn't, because the answer is incredibly simple. So we're trying to overcomplicate Facebook ads a lot. I mean, I know that they offer a lot of options. It's like when you open your Facebook Ads Manager for the first time, it just, you know, pops up every couple of times. There are tons of different options that you can choose from when it comes to objectives, when it comes to audiences, when it comes to placements, and you can be overwhelmed. That said, what Facebook is doing, not recently, but they have been doing this for at least a year now. They are trying to improve their algorithm so they take those decisions away from you. So you can just launch an ad with all of the automatic settings and it will perform well. So what I do with most of my clients, I still do that, and I know like which placements usually work better. But I use, when it comes to placements, I use automatic placements. Because again, Facebook knows better than you do. You might think, okay, well, I will reach my target audience on Facebook. They're definitely not on Instagram. But what if they are? What if Facebook knows something about your audience that you don't know? What if Facebook sees that if I invest $10 in Facebook placement and $10 in Instagram, I'm going to get 2 purchases on Instagram, but no purchases on Facebook. Like, you don't know that, but Facebook will be able to recognize that trend very early and then allocate the majority of your budget towards Instagram. And that's actually a practical example that I can talk about too. So I've been previously working with a business that has online videos for web developers. And we were like, our way of thinking was, they are absolutely, they don't use Instagram. They're not going to purchase our products from Instagram. That's it. Like, we're going to focus on Facebook. But I decided, you know what? Let's have automatic placements turned on for the first week and let's see what happens. And like 90% of the purchases came from Instagram. And we were shocked. Like, thank God we decided to go ahead and test automatic placements. And we absolutely, like, we naturally modified our strategy in a way that we were focusing on Instagram later, because, you know, our audience was just converting like crazy on Instagram. So what I would recommend moving forward, anyone who launches a new campaign, start with automatic placements. Observe what's happening after your campaign is over, after, you know, you decide to turn it off, and just observe and analyze what's been happening. That's when you make any kind of decision with which platform and which placement to move forward. But not before that. Just trust Facebook. They will do their job. In their best interest is that you succeed with Facebook ads. Like, if you don't succeed, you're never going to come back and give them money. So they want you to succeed, and they're going to do everything in their power that, you know, you do succeed. And if that means optimizing placements, absolutely, they're going to do that.
Fascinating. I would not have guessed that based on my experience with Google AdWords in the past. So that's amazing. Thank you, Moitza.
Yeah, I mean, to kind of draw the line, I think the best thing to take away from this conversation is just don't overcomplicate things. Keep it very simple. Trust Facebook. They do have a well-developed algorithm that they use, that we all use. And I trust Facebook when it comes to lookalike audiences. I trust it when it comes to automatic placements. And it all performs really well when you kind of give them a little bit more power. And maybe then, only after giving them that power, analyze and optimize based on the results that you're seeing.
Cool. Excellent. Awesome. Words. Awesome. Of wisdom.
Moitza, for folks who want to kind of learn more about Facebook ads and what you're up to, can you give folks like a few places that they can go to find out more about, you know, getting better at Facebook ads and as well kind of some stuff that you're up to now with your course?
Yeah, for sure. So if they want to read more about, you know, Facebook ads in general, what Facebook is releasing, what you should be careful of, they can visit superspicymedia.com. I have a bunch of articles there, and I'm constantly trying to upload new articles every time Facebook launches something new, which is pretty much every week. So superspicymedia.com. If anyone has any specific questions regarding the campaigns that they previously run or what they're doing wrong, what they're doing right, they can always contact me at moitza@superspicymedia.com. And as mentioned previously, I do have a course that teaches people how to launch Facebook ads successfully and how to launch profitable Facebook advertising campaigns consistently, not just a one-time thing, but every single day. That can be found on thescienceoffacebookads.com. And if they want to save a little bit of money with their purchase, they can use the RS coupon code, which is for Rogue Startups. And yeah, that will give them a 15% off, and they can invest those 15% in Facebook ads.
You're giving money to Facebook. I love it.
Yes. And Facebook, for exchange, they're releasing new things every single day and making my job harder. So thank you.
There you go. Giant pain in the ass. I love it.
Yes.
No, Moitza, this is really great. Like Dave said, we could at least go for another episode on this, and maybe we'll have you back on here in another month or so to kind of follow up again, and maybe we'll be doing better. Mm-hmm. But no, this is super helpful for me, and I think for everyone listening, just a lot of really great takeaways. So thank you very much for your time and insights today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Cool. Chat later.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Rogue Startups. If you haven't already, head over to iTunes and leave a rating and review for the show. For show notes from each episode and a few extra resources to help you along your journey, head over to roguestartups.com to learn more.